Hello and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hello again, this is Pastor Dave Watson, and thank you again for listening to God in Our City. We get phone calls from...
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Italy is calling for greater cooperation among European and North African intelligence agencies to share information about possible terrorist threats. Foreign Minister Angelino Alfano made the comments today as he paid respects at a makeshift memorial on Barcelona's Las Ramblas promenade, where three of the 13 people killed when Muslim terrorists plowed down pedestrians died. They were Italian. Alfano says Italy wants to share intelligence info. The victims of vehicle attacks in Barcelona and a nearby resort came from around the world and across the generations. One was a Canadian with an adventurous spirit, a Portuguese woman celebrating her 74th birthday. And Dick Gregory, who broke racial barriers in the 1960s as a comedian, spreading messages of social justice and nutritional health, has died. He was 84 years old. This is SRN News.
If you just turned on your radio, you're not in Jamaica.
No,
you're
not,
in
not yet,
you're in Staten Island, not by long. Not by long shot. It's not Kingston or Abe. But we're glad to have everyone with us today. whether you're sitting here in a nice, comfortable chair in the air conditioning or driving in your car somewhere or at home, we're just glad that you're with us today, and we pray that this service will be an amazing blessing to you. You know, those sometimes you hear those messages, and the subject matter of the message is so timely, you say, I wish so-and-so had heard that. This message might be like that. So if you want to text somebody and say, be sure to listen in right now, 570 AM, The Mission, this is a message you might want to hear. Of course, it's a message we all need to hear as we talk about the tongue and our speech. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to any and everybody. And we've added a little component that may or may not help you. If you're sitting here or wherever you might be, you can download the outline. You can download the application. You can download the bulletin by going to nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com. That enables you to follow along no matter where you are. And for some folks, they do everything electronically, so it works for them. So we hope and pray that you'll take advantage of that. Jay, you guys have a couple more songs to lead us in and lead us into the presence of God with. So take it away, my friend.
We'll be right back. forgotten head, and ear of my order. So I let my words be few, Jesus, I'm so in love with you.
You are God in heaven.
You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I let my words be few.
Jesus, I am so in love with you.
Jesus, I am so.
And could we pray together? Lord, as we think of your greatness, as we think of your majesty, as we think of the fact that you made all of this world and all the universe, that Lord, you are in complete control. And Lord, we are dependent on you for our very existence. You can cause an eclipse to come. and it be permanent. Lord, thank you for your awesome majesty. And we say today, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, Lord, that you take care of him? In other words, God, why do we even matter? We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to make us in your image. Lord, no matter our color hue, Lord, we all have souls that, Lord, you have made. And we all, Lord, are valuable and accountable to you. We thank you so much, Lord, that we meant so much to you, that you sent Jesus to die for our sins, your Son, for our sins on a cross, so that we could be brought back to you. Thank you, Lord, for the new life we have in him because of his resurrection. Lord, we would come before you today. So often, Lord, we talk a lot. We plead, though, today, Lord, for the families of the Florida officers, Officer Baxter and Sergeant Howard, who lost their lives. And we pray for your hand on their families, God, and for people who know you and love you to come around them and minister to them and encourage them. Lord, for Barcelona and the 13 people who died there, and the city just down the street where they lost more individuals, we pray, Lord, just for your healing hand there, and just help your church to be what it's supposed to be. Lord, we don't know the answer to terrorism. We know the ultimate cause is the evil that is in the heart of Satan and the evil that's in the heart of men. Lord, we pray for its stopping. Lord, and maybe in doing that, we're saying, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come. Until then, Lord, help us as your followers, as those who love you, to be all that we're supposed to be. Lord, we're convinced that your word teaches that your church has the answer in you for what our world needs. But Lord, help your church, help our church to be all that it's supposed to be. Fix us, God, from the inside out. Please, Lord, give our leaders, our president, those in authority, our mayor, those who serve him, wisdom and guidance to keep us safe and to navigate the difficult times that we have ahead of us, God. In these moments, Lord, we ask that you will minister to each of us, minister to me, as well as, Lord, to these my brothers and sisters. May we leave here changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have this amazing series that we've had the privilege of going through, One Topical Summer Together. And week by week, we've looked at various and sundry topics. And we come to now one that I feel I am an expert in. We call it shutting up. I'm not an expert in shutting up. I think I'm probably an expert in needing to shut up. So because I make my living with words, and because for whatever reason from my youth I've suffered from diarrhea at the mouth, it seems to me that I might have more experience in this area than most. I tend to only open my mouth to change feet. So it's with a certain trepidation that I talk to you today. How many of you here can remember being hurt by someone else's words? The words hurt. I mean, they may not even have known that they hurt, but they hurt. How many of you can remember hurting someone else with your words? It's tough, isn't it? And the problem with words is once they pass the edge of the lip, there's no getting them back, right? It's just, they're out there. And so often, even when you say, "I didn't mean it," you kind of did, and the person doesn't believe you even. I hope it's clear to all of us that what we say and how we say it is very, very, very important. Words matter to God as well as to us. Our communication, what we say and how we say it, is very important to God. Listen to the words of Matthew 12, 36 and 37. It says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Can somebody say ouch? Double ouch? Triple ouch? Man. So obviously, if God is keeping track of my words, I probably need to take them very seriously. Now, I kind of changed the way I said this in that I've not just said words, I've said communication. If my communication matters to God, I'm going to have to, and if I'm going to have to give an account for my communication, then I better care about what it is as well. Because in our world, we don't just say things. We email things. We text things. We tweet things. We post things. And whatever LinkedIn is, whatever you do on that. We do all of those things. And all of them have an effect. So today I would like to just walk through this whole idea of communication and how it's supposed to be for you and I as followers of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to look primarily at one verse, Ephesians chapter 4, one set of verses, verses 29 through 32. And it begins here with the substance regarding my communication. Ephesians 4:29a says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. It's kind of a strong phraseology there. Literally, it's saying, let no unwholesome word, logosopras is the Greek phrase for that, let not any of it come forth or pour forth out of your mouth. And the word any is emphasized because it's stressing you're not supposed to let even a little bit of it out. And here's the thing that troubles me about the verse, because I'm a person who would say it's impossible to always control what you say. We say that, right? It's impossible. It's just it's not possible. But because this is a command that's supposed to be obeyed, it is possible. It's possible for me to navigate through what I'm saying. But in the strongest terms, in contrast to not letting this unwholesome speech, this tearing down speech, come out of my mouth, what is supposed to come out is that which is morally good and beneficial toward the building up, toward the edification of the one I'm talking to. It's a pretty good standard. As I'm talking to you, it's supposed to be building you up, not tearing you down. So, before opening my mouth or pressing send or post, there's a couple things that I need to have in mind. I first must reevaluate my communication so that it doesn't tear down. There needs to be a grid in which I say, a moment, a second in which I ask myself, is this going to tear down? Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And it's very, very, very easy to let something fly. And the product of that is you're stabbing someone or cutting someone up. I'm sure at some level, sarcasm might be thought of in this regard. This goes way beyond cuss words. See, when I got saved, I had a certain vocabulary, and I came to a personal faith in Christ, and that vocabulary needed to change. The words that I used needed to change. But in this text, it's not talking about cuss words. Cuss words are covered by Colossians 3:8, but it says, now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and what? Obscene talk from your mouth. So obscene talk is covered here. What we're finding here is that there is a type of speech that builds up. That's called good speech or beneficial speech. And there's this type of speech that tears down. That's called corrupt speech. So I must now seek to put out of my heart and life the corrupt speech. And I must reevaluate my communication so that it builds up. So that it is a building up paradigm. What I'm doing is building you up, not tearing you down. Proverbs 16:1 says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from who? God. So perhaps the most frequent thing that should come from my heart before I speak is, Jesus, help me say the right thing. So are my words intended to benefit the individual by edifying them? By the way, this includes people who we live with. In other words, our speech is not something that's simply outside of our homes, but this is what should be the case inside our homes. This is the people that we text to who are loved ones. Our words to our kids, kids to your parents, and to our spouses, as well as our friends, should be words that build up, not tear down. That's the goal. So when we begin to think of our words and our communication, the question is, are you in construction or demolition? I want to be in construction, where I'm building you up, not demotion or demolition, where I'm tearing you down. Secondly here, there's a strategy regarding my communication. Now, I will admit to you, and it will be the struggle of my life until I die, I tend to answer very quickly. In fact, I like one-liners that just come out with ease. You know what I'm saying? They may not be funny to you, but I find them amusing. But I don't think that that's always good. Ephesians 4:29 says, let the speech build up and not tear down as fits the occasion. In other words, it has to be appropriate. Literally, of what is needed, the fit season, the fit, the words fit the occasion. There's this beautiful verse in Proverbs that says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. The King Jimmy says, in a picture frame of silver. I think this is what's in mind. It's on the screen. These beautiful golden apples set off well in a picture frame of silver. And it's like, wow, this is valuable. This is appropriate. So before pressing send or post, or before opening my mouth, I need to be strategic. And to be strategic requires that I have listened. Listening surely is a lost art. And I for many years felt that I could answer you before you finished. Why would I need to hear all of your mumbling? Just let me get to the point. But what does James 1:19 say? Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The Lord gave us how many ears? Two. How many mouths? One. For a reason. Epictetus was one who said, we have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. Two ears plus one mouth equals, ooh. Listen. I was up in the upper west side of Manhattan at one point of my ministry career, sharing Christ in a largely Latino area with a good friend named Doug. And Doug was sharing Christ with one individual, and Doug pointed me at another person and said, you talk to him. So I began to talk to him, and I said, hey, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, what do you think of that? And he shook his head, and then I said, well, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, how do you feel about that? He agreed with me there, and I said, you know, God demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How do you feel about that? And he shook his head affirmatively, and I said, yeah, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Do you want to put your faith in Christ right now? And he said words that I'll never forget. He said, no hablo iglesia, Señor. I wasn't really paying attention. You know what I'm saying? And then to be strategic requires that I have discernment. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. It just comes so easy. Where the one who is wise and is trying to do the right thing is struggling to say the right thing. And this is just amazing advice. And it's from the Proverbs again, that ancient book of wisdom from what we call the Old Testament. We don't always have to say something. I identify so much with Peter in the New Testament, because when Peter had nothing to say, he said something. And I find that that's true of me. But Proverbs 7:27-28 says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. So sometimes the best thing is actually to say nothing. An old proverb from my days in college says it something like this: better to keep your mouth shut and to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Studied or spontaneous? Am I in construction or demolition? Am I studying what to say, or am I just winging it? Am I spontaneous? Now we have this amazing last section of this verse. It says, gives us the standard regarding my communication. It says, that it may give grace to those who hear. I think this could revolutionize the way I speak. God wants to use my mouth as an instrument of his grace. Wow. God wants to use my mouth and what comes out of it as an instrument of his grace. The purpose or the result of this kind of speech that doesn't tear down but builds up, that studies what to say and is appropriate, is that it bestows something on those it falls upon. Now, that's the crazy thing about our words, right? We shoot them out there and they fall on people, and you don't always know what effect they're having. For years, I did not understand the effect my words had on my kids, how powerful they were. I thought they didn't seem to be paying any attention to them. So, you know, what difference did it make? But they were paying attention. And it does make a huge difference. It bestows grace. The Greek word for grace is charis, God's favor or blessing. As a receiver, an instrument of God's grace, I have the unique opportunity to bless those who will hear with his wisdom, his encouragement, even his rebuke if done right. I really do like to talk. Well, so I make conversation with cashiers. I make conversation with people who pump gas. I make conversation with anybody. And what these verses say to me is, Dave, use those opportunities to be an instrument of the blessing of God, of the grace of God on other people's lives. That's why you got the tongue. That's why you can speak to bless other people. 1 Peter 3:9 says it this way, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." We are blessed people by God. So what are we to do with the blessing that we have? We are to export it to others. This includes those in our household. This includes our greater circle of friends and family. But it includes everyone that we come in contact with. So before opening my mouth or pressing send or post, I must recognize the purpose of my communication. What is the purpose of my communication? Colossians 4:6, a parallel passage to this, says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." It should be filled with grace. Someone who has experienced the grace of God. And then the end product is it should be seasoned with salt. What happens when my speech is gracious? It creates in other individuals a thirst, like salt creates a thirst for the living God. People should say, "I want what you have, because something is special about what you have." I had an official, government official, call me on Friday about something. And I answered them the same way I always do. And I must have been in the right frame of mind. I might have been reading the Bible or something, so I was where I need to be. And the person on the other end said, "Your voice is so soothing, so calming." And I said, "Well, I'm glad I can be that way for you," because the person was obviously under a lot of stress. And I thought, I hope I'm that way with a lot of people. I hope they experience the grace of God through talking to me, rather than the not-so-grace of Dave through talking to me. And I must recognize the power of my communication. Proverbs 16, 23 and 24 says, "The heart of the wise makes his speech," what? "Judicious, and adds persuasiveness to his lips." And then watch this. "Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." In the amazing, crazy dialogue we are having as a nation right now, it would be really neat if people in authority would grasp this concept. That it's not about getting power. It's not about getting one up. It's not about getting revenge. It's not about speaking your mind, because nobody's got enough mind to give away. But it's about healing wounds with words by being gracious. What you and I say makes a difference in people's lives, whether it be for good or bad. So am I in construction or demolition? Am I studying or am I spontaneous? Or is it a blessing or curse that's coming out of my mouth? And then here's the struggle regarding my communication. The text says, right here, right now, in the middle of talking about my language, it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Uh-oh. So it's possible for me to be just skipping along in my Christian life. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus as much as you. And then post something on Facebook, tweet something out, or text something out, or speak something in from my mouth that grieves the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Happens all the time to me. The Greek word to grieve, lupeo, means to sadden, to cause sorrow. It's a negative command. Don't do that. The Holy Spirit, that one who seals our salvation, that dwells within us and empowers us for Christian living, and by whom we are to be filled continually, can be grieved and his ministry shut down in our life by our tongue, our post, our tweet, our Twitter, our text, whatever. So before opening my mouth or pressing send/post, I must be aware of the problem with grieving the Holy Spirit. I don't want to, anybody, you want to grieve the Spirit? I don't want to grieve the Spirit. I need the Spirit in my life. I need the Spirit's power in my life. Galatians 5:16 is, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But what's the converse? If I don't walk by the Spirit, I will gratify the desires of the flesh. And when my mouth is satisfying the desires of the flesh, I have the potential to say all kinds of rotten things. It is always important for us to realize that in coming to faith in Christ, Jesus does an amazing thing to us. But we still have hearts that Jeremiah described as deceitful and desperately wicked. As Jesus described, as from them comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, hatred, bitterness. They all come from our heart. They are the seeds of bigotry. They are the seeds of racism. They come from within us. That's why we have to walk by the Spirit, so that we don't satisfy those desires or that side of us. And then I must be aware of the possibility of grieving the Holy Spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And it's just incredibly possible that in the midst of the battle that I allow my flesh to get a hold of me and I mess up my relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, and I mess up and I say something, I post something, I do something I shouldn't do. You're driving in your car. Somebody cuts you off. Well, that's not fair. That's not really a good example, right? And out of your mouth comes, I bless the God who made the person. I curse the person made by God. James says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. That shouldn't be so. If that doesn't, if you can't grasp that, in the country, when someone let forth a bunch of filthy words, we would say something like this, and it's, don't do this to anybody. Do you eat with that mouth too? Because that's being in the flesh as well. But it's not right. It's not what we want. So the next question is, spirit or flesh? What am I manifesting? And today, as we begin to wind down, here's the solution regarding my communication. Please understand today that I actually have not one of you in mind with anything I am saying today. The person that is troubled by this message the most is me. Whose idea was it to do this one topical summer together anyway? Listen to Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Please understand that above anything and everything else, your speech, my speech, our communication in social media is all about a heart thing. It's a heart thing. When he says put away, it's a command. The Greek word is ario. It means let it be lifted up from you, like lift it up and fly away. Or let it be executed from me. I need to say I am dead to these things. They do not have to have dominion in my life. It's interesting, the phraseology here is all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all slander, all on the inside comes out. As a man or woman thinks in their heart, so they post, so they tweet, so they say. The problem is we are all prone to things like bitterness. How many of you have been hurt in your life? See, if you've been hurt and you don't deal with that hurt, sooner or later it's going to come out. How many of us have been angry on the inside with someone else? See, if you don't deal with that, it comes out. How many of us have been angry on the outside? How many of us had clan? You know, it comes out. There's something in American culture. What's it called? Oh, a grudge. Anyone here, you've heard of a grudge, right? So if you have a grudge against someone, you try to avoid that person, right? So if I had a grudge with Carlito, I do not have a grudge with you, okay? If I had a grudge with Carlos, I would try to avoid Carlos. But sooner or later, I would run into him. So I would try and fake it, right? How you doing? You blessed? Too blessed to be stressed? But if I'm with him long enough, somewhere along the line, something will happen where I'll go, that's the real you. That's the person I have the grudge out against. And then the other stuff comes what? Spilling out. It may not spill out with him. But when I say to someone else, you need to pray for Carlos. He's got some deep issues. He's a good guy, but... And here's the other problem, is that my grudge with Carlos, it don't stay with me and Carlos. I see Paul and I'm agitated. I'm upset. I'm not upset with Paul. Well, sometimes I am, but let's not go there. I'm upset at Carlos. And so that goes on. It bleeds over onto Paul. And then Paul gets all huffy with Louisa because I treated him bad. And Louisa, she's a saint. She let it die. It's no problem. But still. Do you see how it what's on the inside? Guys, you can't fake it. I can't fake it. I can't fake it. What's on the inside is there, so I have to deal with it. It says, rather than give in to this, it says, become unto one another. This is to be mutual. Good-hearted, or good, tender-hearted, forgiving to each other. The measure, the manner, and the model of forgiveness is given, just as God, through Christ, forgave you. Just as God, through Christ, did what? Forgave you. How many of us deserve the forgiveness of God? No one. God forgave me. Watch. God forgave me my sins of anger. And I will admit to being an incredibly angry young man. God forgave me those sins knowing that I would grow up and be a person who could still get angry. I know Pastor Willie says, you'll meet another Pastor Willie. You don't want to meet another Pastor Dave. Because another Pastor Dave would give a beat down to another Pastor Willie. It's bad. It's bad. But God forgave me knowing that I would have that struggle all my life long. And now in the year 2017, he would have to forgive me again. The forgiveness extends forever. That's the way we have to be with each other. Forgiveness. And there is a misnomer in our world, in our culture. I will forgive you if you repent or if you ask for forgiveness in the right way. If I feel comfortable with how you ask for forgiveness, I will extend to you forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift that is given without stipulation. It is given. I forgive you. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. Forgiveness is given. Forgiveness is given. And it's all because of what Christ did for us. This won't cost you anything more. In the weird national dialogue that we have right now, what would be really good is a lot of forgiveness. It would be a lot of forgiveness. A lot of forgiveness. People of the lighter hue, that would be me, need to ask God to forgive them for some of the hatred and bigotry that still remains in our hearts. People of the darker hue need to ask God to forgive them for some of the hatred that they have for people of the lighter hue. Because both of them are wrong. Both of them are wrong. And if we're going to heal, that needs to occur. And again, I won't charge you extra for saying this. I don't understand how it can heal if we remain, the most segregated hour of the week remains 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, where people are either, I go to a Spanish church. Oh, I go to a black church. I go to a Chinese church. Oh, I go to a Korean church. You know what? I go to Jesus' church. I don't mean to be sounding spiritual, but that's how we need to see it. Because when Jesus founded his church, he did not say, now I'm going to have myself this black church over here, and I'm going to get me a segment of Spanish people over here. I'm going to put them over here. And then I'm going to get me an Asian church over here. They're all going to be different and distinct. I don't know, and the Caucasians, you all get to go down the park, be in the suburbs. Jesus said, this is my church that I've founded. And it's his, and it ought to look like the cafeteria at the UN. It ought to be for all nations. So before opening my mouth or pressing send or post, I must regularly examine my heart for the evils of the flesh. Is there anger there? What I'm saying to you is you can't fake it. Will you please repeat after me? I can't fake it. Together now? I can't fake it. So if there is anger in me, it will come out. If there is bitterness in me, it will come out. If you're a person involved in social media, it'll come out. You won't see it because because that log in your eye doesn't permit you to see the splinter in others' eyes, and it blinds you. It blinds me. So if it's there, it will come out, so I must deal with it. James 3, 14 through 16 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. If this is in me, what will come out? Bad. I must regularly populate my heart with the fruits of righteousness. I need to have God do an amazing work in me so I'm different. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What's on the inside will come out. So is it the new me or the old me? Now, if you'll take your bulletin, you'll find a little half sheet of paper that has writing on both sides for today's takeaway. So before opening my mouth or pressing send and post, something needs to happen. We can take a great deal of pride in the fact that most of what we say, post, or send is very much unfiltered. But for what we say, post, or send to please God, it must be filtered. Just because it's okay in Facebook and Twitter's eyes doesn't mean it's okay from our Lord's perspective. Just because I can text it doesn't mean I have to. I need to use my Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 filter. And those of you who are very tech savvy, which I am not, but I found this out as I put this together, will note that this is the symbol for a filter in computer language or making an icon for. This is the symbol for filter. So, from a forgiven heart, here's the filter. New me or old me? It starts with that forgiven heart. What am I pouring out? New me or old me? Spirit or flesh? Blessings or curse? Studied or spontaneous? Construction or demolition?
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.
Hello again, this is Pastor Dave Watson, and thank you again for listening to God in Our City. We get phone calls from many of our listeners telling us how much this broadcast is a blessing to them. We have phone calls from folks who have problems with their kids, with their families, all telling us that God in Our City is a big blessing to them. Today, I need your help. I need you to partner with me to help keep God in Our City right here where it's supposed to be on WMCA Live every Sunday morning. Could you today be a prayer partner with us? Would you take the time to pray weekly for God in Our City? Beyond that, perhaps you could be a promoter of God in Our City. Maybe you could call a friend, a family member, someone you know in need and tell them to tune into our broadcast. Or perhaps you would text someone or place the fact that God in Our City is on up on your Facebook page. And finally, our church, Calvary Chapel, absorbs the majority of the costs involved with making this broadcast possible. But today, we need your help. Would you be willing to partner with us financially? If you would you please just call 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. Or go to our website, calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Click on the donate button and contribute today. This is Pastor Dave Watson. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.